My name is Lyle, and God gave me the ability to hear. Bible says, for those who have ears, let him hear. For a long time, I had 2 ears and couldn't hear a thing. You know, couldn't hear a thing. You know, I knew everything. I knew everything. I wasn't the first time went through this process. I came around, and Marvin was years ago, and Marvin was trying to help me. And see, now, I was unteachable, and I didn't know nothing, but I wanted to teach. You know, that's something. I didn't believe in the process. I believed in who I thought I was. The Bible says, don't think so highly of yourself. Amen. You ought not think so highly of yourself. You have to understand. I had to come down and understand. I didn't know nothing. I couldn't stay clean. I couldn't keep nothing. I was the cancer in every relationship I had. You know, I used to watch her family. And that's a sister to me, and I love her with all my heart. You know, and I used to watch her and her family come into the prisons. I've been to every prison in Indiana almost. And I watched her family come in and minister to me. And it brings me to tears, you know, because they worked hard, they fought hard, they prayed hard, and they came and they never gave up. Well, almost never gave up. I think she was giving up at the end. She told me the last time she came in to see us, I was the IRF. And we walked around the yard and talked a little bit. She told me, you ain't nothing but a player. But you know, in my heart, I wanted something different. You know, I don't minimize the desire. I don't minimize the desire of the guy sitting in chains going back to jail. I don't minimize the desire because nobody knows the desire of your heart. Nobody wants to be an animal. See, and that's what I had became. I was just above being an animal. You know, I was a person capable of doing anything to anybody at any time, given the right set of circumstances. See, and I didn't want to be that. But I didn't know how to be anything else. I did not understand that God could bring me out of that life. I was a dope fiend for a whole lot of years. And I didn't think God could bring me out. They would bring me out of prison early. And I'd come in there with all the little stories. I knew the right things to say. I knew the right way to sit. Somebody would buy me a suit, and I'd have on an old suit or something, old tie. And I'd be sitting there in front of the judge. And I'm yes, sir, no, sir, 3 bags full, sir. And knew in my heart I had no intentions on staying clean or doing right.
You got to run that game, huh?
I'm going to figure out what you're talking about. And I'm going to figure out how to get around it. See, because I'm Lyle Kelsall, and I'm smarter than you. I'm stronger than you. That only reason y'all getting caught up because you can't think. That's not me. So there I go. I'm in somebody's halfway house. And from the time my foot hit the carpet, I began to complain. Man, it smells in here. You know what? I didn't stop and think. It smelled better than that garbage can I was sleeping behind last year. Smelled a little bit better than that old hallway I was laying in last year. It was a little bit warmer than that old abandoned car I was sleeping in last year. But I had to find a way to complain about everything. Oh, man, my bunkie, he get on my nerves. He ain't nothing here. Why am I taking inventory of my bunkie when I have not even taken inventory of myself?
Amen.
Why am I caring about my bunkie's problems when I got problems myself? I got a son I hadn't seen in years. I got a mother and father who, when I'm in the house, they sleep with one eye open. You know what I mean? When they let me in. Because there came a day where I knocked on my mother and father's door, and they would go upstairs and look out the window and say, what you want? It's a sad day when you're not welcome in the home or the people who brought you in this world. See, then me being the good dope fiend and the good son that I was, I had to blame somebody. Now, y'all think y'all better than me. Y'all raised me like this. I didn't know a hungry day. My daddy worked at General Motors for 42 years before he retired. My mom worked at Magnavox. I didn't know a hungry day, Mick. I didn't know a hungry day until I became a dope fiend. But I had to blame somebody. So when I get in trouble, and it's always the officer's fault. You know what? They don't like me. They don't know me. They don't trust me. Of course they don't trust me. Look what the paper says about me. Look what my packing says about me. My packing says I've broken in homes, I've broken in churches, I've broken in buildings. The packing says I've stolen from cars, I've stolen from this, I've done that. Why would they trust me? They don't know me. I got this smile on. I want everybody to see that something's different. So then I would go to jail. Being the good old dope fiend I was, I'd go to jail. Now I get in jail, I'm going to preach. See, then why I was a preacher in jail. But I was T.D. Jakes in the jail. I'm up in the doggone jail, and I'm preaching the word. And a guy named Fatback told me one day, I got to argue with Fatback. You know him? And we got to argue one day because I was meddling. See, Fatback used to always go borrow a bunch of stuff and then pay all his money back with the people. And so I'm trying to teach him. I'm going to give him a fourth step. I'm going to teach him how to live right. You ain't doing this right. And I'm all up in his face. I'm loud. I'm arrogant. I'm ignorant. And I'm way off base. And I told him, I said, blah, 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 blah. He would have run his mouth. And he looked at me. He said, now, Lyle, next you're going to holler about you saved. When he said that, you know what I did? Being a good Christian, good preacher I was, I hit him right in the face. I showed him. I hit him right in his face. Then I went on back downstairs with my Bible, Mick. Went on back downstairs with my Bible. I get to prison. Now I'm gonna preach in prison. But look, I had my first bit. I slept next to a young man by the name of Elijah Harris. Some of y'all might know Elijah Harris. Yeah. He's a chaplain. That's my guy. I used to go with his sister years ago, but that's another story. We'll save that for some other time. Hey, but anyway. I slept next to him, and I'm talking about the Bible. He's talking about the Bible. So he said, I'm going to prison fellowship tonight. You going to go? Now, of course, I'm going to go. But see, I was playing basketball. I was still dunking the ball with both hands, and I'm showing out and gambling and everything else. I'm smoking all the weed. I'm running with the black gangster disciples. So about time to go to church, I just smoked me a couple of penitentiary skinnies, if you know what that is. I smoked me a couple penitentiary skinnies, right? And I'm hiding behind the locker. And I can see Elijah peeking around looking for me. He had the door with his Bible. So I was up when he come back and tell him, oh man, I must have missed you. But you know something about that? I came back to jail a few years later. About 5-6 years later, I come back to jail. Guess who I saw in jail? Elijah. But this time, he had some keys. See, Elijah stayed true to what he believed. And here I am once again needing help. Here I am once again needing help. So being a good preacher that I am, right, I went back up there and I began to preach again. So I'm back on the block and I'm preaching again. You know, and see, when it was something because I go down to prison and I was one of those guys, and I don't know how it happened. Some woman, some guard, always attached herself to me. And twice I brought him home. But anyway, I'd be up in there, call myself preaching the word, and I'm sneaking around doing everything you can sneak around and do. Everything, you know, I was down there. They even had me in, I was locked up with a gentleman in here. We were at Branchville. And because God, so I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says your gifts come without repentance. See, some of y'all are good at something right now. You don't even realize it's because God put that gift in you. God wants to bring the best out of you with that gift in you. So I was down in Branchville, and they wanted me to put all these programs on. I was in prison like Joseph. I had the run of the prison. In the middle of the night, people locked in the cells, and I'm walking down the middle of the street. I'm walking down the street, and then I could go any dorm. See, in prison, you can't go in other dorms and stuff. I could go in any dorm I wanted to go into. I'd go down to the kitchen. I said, Miss Falkenberg, I need you to do something for me. She said, yes, sir, Mr. Calsaw. I said, I need you to give me 200 cookies and 200 brownies. Or I said, 100 cookies and 100 brownies, and I need a big thing of coffee, and I need a big thing of Kool-Aid. She said, what date you need that, Mr. Calsaw? And I would tell her. I'd leave there, and I'd go down to the laundry, and I would tell them, I need this many T-shirts. I said, that because God gifted me to be able to write. I wrote a lot of plays. I wrote a lot of skits. I wrote things to try to help people get to the next level. And they wanted me to put on a Black History program now one time, right? So I got everything together. I got the musicians. I got everything. I wrote some skits about that. I did some this, all that kind of stuff. And so I told the people now down in Southern Adams, all white officers down there and stuff. They didn't know much about our Black culture. So the lady said, what you got going, Mr. Kelso? What's your agenda for the program? So I got it all laid out. I picked all my people. I said, first off, we're going to start with the national anthem. She said, okay. I said, then we're going to do the Black national anthem. And she said, there's a Black national anthem? I said, yeah. I said, it goes like this. Hooga booga, hooga booga, hooga booga. And they looked at me like I was crazy. I had to get her. I couldn't help it, Marvin. But anyway, I wrote all these skits and all these things, but I wasn't living a nickel worth of nothing. I couldn't live a nickel worth of nothing. I get out of jail, come home, I'd be doing okay for a while. See, my thought was, if you didn't see me getting high, then I'm not getting high, Marvin. See, now, I would go to the Narcotics Anonymous meetings, high as Kroger's beef, and then I would turn around and go up front and get my 30-day token, like they didn't know. You can't fool a dope fiend. See, you can't come in there high and I don't know you high. I might not ever say it because I love you, and I want you to make it, and I know a brighter day is coming, so I might not ever say it. I won't say it, because I know a brighter day is coming, because they knew it for me. They knew I was high. You know what they would do? They'd give me that 30-day token anyway. So I got one time, I got my token, and that night I went over to the dope house, and one of the guys was up on the block with me while I was preaching all the time. He tried to make me be quiet, or breeze, but I never would be quiet. So I go into the dope house, and there he is sitting. I was in the dope house pulling. I'm taking a hit, and there he come in the dope house. And I look up at him. First thing he look at me, he says, hey, Lamb, you still preaching? Oh, I want to get him. I want to get him, boy. But, you know, but I'm saying these things because you can make it. See, somebody might not be going through the exact same thing I went through, but you're going through similar situations. I mean, everything. See, I'm going to tell you, here's where you know you got a problem. And this is, take this from an old fool. You know you got a problem when you complain about everything around you. When you're one of those people that complain about everything around you, then that means you have not humbled yourself enough to be grateful. So I became grateful. When I finally did get saved, I still went to prison. But people say it's easy to be saved in prison. Oh, my God, that's a lie. Because when you're really saved, you're almost by yourself. Ain't but two or three of y'all. You know what I mean? Ain't but some of the guys up there and talking about their elders and stuff, and they back in the back with other guys. You know, whatever. You know, but so it was hard being saved for real in prison. But I was saved, and I began to walk out my deliverance. I began to hold on, and things would come against me, but I just wouldn't go back. I just wouldn't go back. I was sitting on the county jail, and you guys have been to the county. I told this story. Somebody need to hear it tonight, I guess. I was in the county jail, and I used to belong to the Black Gangster Disciples. And some of them used to come to the cell and try to get me to hold stuff or hide stuff or do a cover for them. And I would tell them, no, man, you can't bring that in here. You got to take that with you. You can't bring it in here. So they got mad one day. I was sitting in my cell reading my Bible. And when the doors popped, I was still reading. In walked three guys. One of them I know. And we're good friends today. I can call his name. We're good friends today. Carl Madewell. He walks in on me. Got two guys with him. I look up at him. I'm sitting in the bed. He says, hey, old school. Now, they Black Gangster Disciples. He says, old school, we think you getting soft. So we think you telling. So we think you the police. Mm-mm. You know, if you ever been to jail, now these are words you can't say to people in jail. You know what I mean? If you still believe in that prison concept, you know, you still believe in that prison. I'm going to tell you something. Before I finish that story, prison mentality only stands up in prison. On the streets, you look like a fool talking like that.
Amen.
But anyway, and so the dude told me, you got 1 hour to get up off this block. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't lose many fights coming up. And I never lost a fight in jail or prison. And I'm not saying that to brag. But I just did. when he said that, now I got a choice to make. Charles, I got a choice to make. Because I'm saved now. I'm saved for real now. Marvin, I wasn't playing saved this time. I'm saved. Now I got a choice. So I'm standing there and I began to pray in my mind, Lord, you got to do something. And I took my glasses off and I set my glasses down. And I stood up. And I stood up, I took a step toward the fellas. And I looked up, God did what he promised. He began to fight for me.
Amen.
Them two boys in the back, they took off running out that door, man, like a jet. Boom! Because they had heard about me from the streets. I used to have a little bit of reputation. They had heard about me. So they weren't going to be stocked up in this little bitty concrete room with me. They took off. Now, Carl didn't see him leave. Now, he didn't see him leave. So Carl, when I stepped to him, he stepped back, and like he was getting ready, and he looked back and seen nobody back there, he said, look right there, lie, lie, lie. You know what? God had did for me what he'll do for you.
Amen.
You don't have to fight with your roommate. Yeah, it's okay if your roommate snores. It's okay. I mean, your roommate don't shower, leave subtle hints. Tell him, you know what? I got a guy at work who sometimes didn't want to shower. I'm talking about now. So I would tell him. I see him one day with a nice shirt on. I said, well, let me tell you something. His name is Nick. I said, hey, Nick, you know what? You look like a million. You ought to smell like a million. So I bought him some cologne. and a little cut set. I said, Nick, if you're going to look like a million, smell like a million, man, stand up. You know, I did it in a subtle way. But you know what? There's ways around it. You have to humble yourself. The Beatitude. Talk about the meek shall inherit the earth. You got to really lay back and humble yourself and understand it's not about me. God is taking you through a test that you have never passed before. Because God wants to use you. You cannot teach the sixth grade if you can't pass the third grade. Let me say that again to somebody who didn't catch that. You cannot teach the sixth grade if you can't pass the third grade.
Amen.
See, I didn't understand that because I thought I was a nickel slick. So I had to learn to be quiet. And God had to show me that he would fight for me. He had to show me, because even after this with those guys in the county, I went to prison and the same thing happened again at a softball game. And I told this story. I'm going to tell it again. I was umpiring a game and these guys were playing, Aryan Brotherhood were playing. One of them got threw out of the game. So the guy pitching, he was running his mouth and calling all kind of names and using racial slurs, just the whole night. He was going off kind of bad, doing some of everything, right? And I said, time! I said, young man, I said, there's no place for that out here. Just play ball, brother. So let it go. That man called me everything but the child of God. Mick, he talked about my mama and my mama's mama. He called me. I said, time! I said, young man, one more word, and you out of here. That young man went to open his mouth, said something else. I said, you're out of here. He threw that glove down, and here he come charging me. Now, listen, I'm saved now, Mick. I got a choice to make. See, I got a choice to make, because I'm saved now. I can't let him hurt me, but I got a choice to make. Do I believe what God said, or don't I believe him? See, this tonight, this message is for somebody who needs to know that you can believe him. You got to believe him when you don't see him. You got to believe him when you don't understand him. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. So that young man come charging, and there I stood up. I didn't charge toward him. I stood up and waited on him to get here, you know. And before he could get there, the guys grabbed him, and they pulled him away. So he goes behind the backstop, and he's calling me all kind of names. I said, time! I said, young man, you got 2 minutes to be out of earshot, or this game is forfeited. Now, in prison, you play for prizes, and this team really had a chance to win. And if you ain't got much money or whatever, you want the prizes. You know what I mean? That's the way it is. So then they tell him, go ahead, go ahead. And it just so happened that this young man was on my dorm. Pastor, the young man was on my dorm. So they were walking him up across the field. He told him, when you get back to the dorm, I'm going to do this. And he didn't say he was going to feed me or nothing. He didn't say nothing nice. He said some horrible things, you know, they were going to do with me when we got back to the dorm. So after the game, I was headed back to the dorm. And I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, you said the battle was yours and not mine.
Amen.
I said, now one of us got to fight that young man. I said, Lord, if I fight him, I'm going to try to hurt him. This is what, because I have to be honest with God today. I tell him what's really in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I get to the dorm, and the other Aryans are standing in the day room. You know, they got their hair tied back, and their boots on, their shorts, and they point to the bathroom, you know. So I got to go past the restroom to get to my bunk. So I go past the restroom, and I look off in there, and there he is standing there like Mighty Joe Young. He all greased up, got his hair in a ponytail, got his shirt off. he huffing, buddy. So I go on to my door, to my bed, and I get my shower stuff, and I walk back in the bathroom. And when I step in the bathroom, he stepped to me. I said, young man, I left that game on the field. I said, and if you didn't, you're a bigger fool than I thought. I said, now excuse me, sir, while I get a shower. And I stepped around him. And now I'm not confused. That young man was not afraid of me. I was way outnumbered. But God did what he promised.
Amen.
He did it once again. Because he needed to show me that I didn't need to use that no more. He did for me again what I didn't think I could do for myself. You know something? 6 months later, we were at Kairos, and I was teaching a little circle at Kairos, and guess who came in to my circle? That young man. He asked to come to my circle, and he sat in my circle and asked me to take him through the prayer of repentance.
Amen.
You know, there's no way I can talk about my life and look back at where God brought me.
Amen.
And it don't bring me to tears. You know, I don't mean to stand up and cry or nothing, but I just can't tell a story about my life and it don't bring me to tears. And it really hurts me when I see people say, I hate that halfway house because I hate that doggone counselor. Mm-hmm. Oh, she gets on my nerves. If I could whoop her, I would do this. Ooh, I can't stand that room I'm in. It's that caseworker I got. She always on me. The word I got, preacher, God, yeah, thank you, sir. You're a better man than me. Quicker anyway. And the word I got said, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit. You know what it says at the end of it? You know what it says, fam? It says, against these things,
no
there's no law.
You don't get arrested.
You don't get arrested. The counselor, you know what? If I'm home every night on time, if my bed is made every morning like it's supposed to, if I've turned in my papers like I should have, if I've done everything I should have done, I've been to work on time, I've did my chore, then there's no law against that.
Amen.
She's got to leave me alone and go on to the next person. She's got to leave me. See, because what she's doing to you isn't about her. God has a raise, he has to raise a standard in our lives that he can use us. Who would ever thought a 25-year dope fiend like me would be standing up here preaching to anybody? I've been to every prison in Indiana almost. You know, in gang wars and all that old foolishness, man. Broke in here, broke in there. My last felony had broken into a church. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't a baby dope fiend. I was a real life dope fiend. I committed felonies every day. See, because I didn't have no baby habit. See, some people are good if you come in and give me a hit. That wasn't my story. One hit wasn't going to do nothing for me. I'm going to stand around and beg for a hit. That wasn't going to do nothing for me. That wasn't my story. So I committed felonies every day. It's by the grace of God I'm still alive. I got shot in the head. Over on Francis and Lewis Street. I was acting a fool and trying to be a hero. Got shot in the head. When I turned to run, I heard the shotgun go off and I see my hat fly in the air. And I reached up to grab my hat, and I seen the blood coming down my shoulders. That's crazy. I get shot in the head, and I don't even fall. I know a guy got shot in the leg. He never got up. He died. The gift of God, the calling on your lives, the calling on our lives, we just don't understand what God is doing. God never said we're going to understand it. He said, trust him. He said, trust him. And I had to look back and begin to walk it out. And when I first got out of prison, I didn't have a whole bunch of anything, but I had God. I think I had a couple $100 and two outfits. You know, God took me to a place where I was okay. I had the things I need. You know, and I had all the necessities of life. I got hurt a few times. I had a couple of operations. I had, four operations in 2.5 years. I missed a lot of work. But I had friends who came up and stepped up, and they helped me out financially. And God has put me in a position to start giving those things back, to giving the gifts back. But it's all because of God. See, the Bible said you have not because you ask not. See, we sit right there. Now, if you're a mentor, raise your hand. If you're a mentor in this room, raise your hand. But we have men and women sitting here struggling, going back, who don't know God and don't know how they're going to make it tomorrow, and they're too proud to come to the mentor and say, hey, how'd you do it? I got a young man here who calls me every night. Sometimes I'm sleeping, he calls me. But I answer my phone. Because he's hungry. He wants to live. I know what it's like to want to live. So I didn't begin to get better until I let somebody get in my business. I had to let somebody in my business, Chief. I had to tell somebody my ignorant thoughts. I had to tell somebody when the devil was wrestling with me. I'm no match for him all by myself. See, the word says one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. Sometimes 1,000 would be at me and I'd have them at bay. And the enemy was dirty. He sent one more. He knew I couldn't deal with 1,001. So I needed Mick. I needed Marvin. I needed Pam. I needed somebody. Carl, I needed somebody, and God sent that somebody. You, the mentors, we're not your parents. We're not going to scold you, but what we're going to do is try to give you a set of suggestions. We're going to pray for you. We're going to try to open doors and help you get to the resources. But what we're really going to tell you is you can make it. And what's going on in your life is not about the people running it. You stand and do the things and the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to worry about not making it, because there is no law, and God will fight for you the same way he fought for me. Amen. He will fight for you. And I know these are the promises of God. Are yea and amen. And there's promises all in the Bible. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Who can say that? In here, the Lord is my shepherd. I heard my big sister say one time in church years ago before I got saved, and I just didn't know how she could say it. She said she was praying, and she said, Lord, you can trust me. I thought, whoa, what a thing to say. But today, you know what, Mick? The Lord can trust me. If he send me, I'll go. If he tell me how, I'll do it. If he tell me to sit down and shut up, I will. He can trust me today. And that's what it's all about. I'm not going to keep you too long. It's just about that way. I'm going to say the story about my little sister, my big sister. She passed away, and she's in heaven looking down on me now. Or wherever she goes when you leave here until it's time to go to heaven. But anyway, I was walking down the street. I had a little pistol. And it was a two-piece pistol because it was broke. I had to hold that little joker together. I think I had 3 bullets. And I had to hold it together so I could shoot it, you know, keep it together. And now I'm mad at somebody, and there I go storming down the street, Mick, I'm going to get him. He done ripped me off for $12 or something. I'm going to kill him, because that $12 was a hit for me. And he threw between me and a hit. I'm going to kill him. So I'm going down the street, and who pulls up? A van pulls up. And it's my big sister, Eunice. Sister Eunice, some people call her. It's my big sister, Sister Eunice. She pulls up. I tried to hide the little pistol. She said, where you going, Lyle? I said, I'm just going around the street. I'll give you a ride. I'll call you the ride. Come on, I'll give you a ride. So I get in the truck, get in the van. I got the little pistol hidden in my car. And we ride, and we go past the law. I said, I'm going right back. She said, I know. I said, I'm going. I said, I know. She said, I'm going to take you. Okay. And I looked over, my sister's lips were moving. She was praying for her little brother. was praying for a little brother. And she said, Lyle, what would you do if I took you home and there was a man in your house tearing your house up, destroying everything you love, everything you work for? And I pulled that little piece of pistol out. I take one half of it fail. But I pulled that piece of pistol out. So I go home, I put this pistol in his mouth, and I kill him. I'm going to do this and this. You know what she said? She said, good. She said, because the devil's at home tearing your house up. She said, I'm taking you home to do what you need to do. I challenge you to that tonight. The devil's trying to tear your house up, and you believe in that stupid lie. You believe it's the case manager. You believe it's the judge. You believe it's the Chloe or whoever works where you at. You believe it's them. It has nothing to do with them. Your story has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with them. Your story is about you. Your salvation is not predicated on how people treat you. You remember that. You remember that. Your salvation is predicated on how you treat people. That's all I got tonight. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got anything they want to add or say before we go? Yes, sir. Come on, D1.
Tell the story, man. This is the one I look forward to. Down Ewald Street with the snowblower in May.
Oh, man, you want me to tell that story? I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to tell it quick. I had been up all night. I've been up a couple nights. I had a couple gals and sat at this old house. And I was the trick. I thought I was the player, but I was the trick. And I would go out hustle and get the money, come back, and they would take it all from me, basically trick me out of it. But anyway, I had just broken the church and stole a snowblower. And I'm walking down the street with this snowblower, big old nice one too. It's in May, weather nice, and I'm going down the street in this snowblower because now I'm going to get me a nice little chunk. You know what I mean? Give me half a candy bar or something. You know what I mean? Give me a nice little chunk. And I'm going back with these gals, and we're going to spend another day and a half locked off in this room doing God knows what. But anyway, I began to walk down the street, and all those years I have been praying to God to help me. All them times where I'd asked God to do something different in my life, for some reason, that was the day God decided to do business with me. And I started crying. And a tear came down my face. And I'm like, what the heck? And I wiped it away. Then a tear came down the other side. And I wiped it away. Man, what the heck? And before I knew it, tears were just running down my face. A dude pulled up next to me in the truck and he said, hey, what you want for that? That's a dope fiend's dream. Because now I can ask top dollar because he needs this thing. The word that came out of my mouth was something I didn't recognize. I looked at him and said, brother, this ain't mine. But I'm trying not to cry because I didn't want to cry in front of people. I weighed about 60 pounds on the weight and filthy. I was already looking crazy. And I'm crying like a baby. He said, what? I said, brother, it's not mine. And he said, you okay? I said, man, brother, just leave me alone. Because now I'm crying from my gut. Like that, I'm crying from my gut. So I turn around and I take the snowblower back. I knock on the window and tell the people what I'd done. They wouldn't let me in. I was looking crazy. I must have looked like a banshee or something. I don't know what. They wouldn't let me in that door. And I pointed to a snowblower. And they called the police. Now, when they called the police, I was a great athlete. In fact, if they'd ever had a crackhead Olympics, I'd have been a gold medalist. Because I could run a long ways. But you know what I did? I sat down on the step, and I waited till the police got there. I waited on the police to get there. When the police got there, they got out the car. He said, Lyle, because I was crying. And he looked at me, Lyle. I looked up at him, and he said, just sit right there, don't move. And he popped his thing off of his pistol, you know. I said, you don't got to call no backup. So you got to call backup. I'm not going nowhere, man. I said, I'm done. But anyway, when I told him the story, they were going to let me go. And I told them what I did. And I told them, I said, I'm on parole. They took me downtown. And I sat on that bullpen and I cried like a baby. Never cried in jail in front of nobody. I cried like a baby. And I asked God, I said, God, you got to help me. God, the Lord said, you want to clean yourself up? He said, call the detectives and tell them everything you did. And I called. I had my mom call down there. And I talked to the detective and told him everything I did. When I went to court, I went in front of the judge. And they read my name, and I raised my hand. And Wendy Davis says, yes, sir. I said, ma'am. I said, I've lived a very wicked and foolish adult life. I said, you don't have to spend another nickel on me. So I spent far too much time for the state and my family. I said, I don't need a lawyer. I don't need a plea bargain. I don't need no trial. I said, whatever you got on that paper, ma'am, I said, I'm guilty. Now, the prosecutor didn't like that. The little dark-skinned lady, she tried to say something, and I told her, ma'am, hold on. I said, I watched you carrying those files over here across that courtroom. I said, and I guarantee you, ma'am, my file is the biggest file in that trial. I said, I'm telling you, you never got to bring my file across this courtroom ever again. Ever. From that day to this, they haven't had to carry my file across that courtroom. It's going on 11 years since God saved me.
Amen.
Never had to carry my file again across that courtroom. And before I start talking, Wendy Davis had said, you're nothing but a thief and a liar before I start talking, you know? But today, in my pocket, I have a court order to carry my telephone in Wendy Davis's courtroom because I am a mentor in the very place where she said, I was a thief and a liar. Let me tell you something. Don't underestimate what God has for you. What God has for you is for you. Don't leave here a loser tonight. There's not a loser in this place. God bless you. God bless you. Pam, pray for us. Pray us out. Or pray.
Okay, Father, we just give you thanks and praise, Lord. We thank you for all,
yes, Lord.
All what you are, Father. How you move through our lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Set our destinies, Father. We just give you glory and honor for this night, Lord. Our brother sharing his testimony.
Yes,
everything,
Lord,
he's been through and everything you brought him through, God.
Yes,
I,
Lord,
just praise you that you're that kind of God. You're the mighty God that splits open seas. And Father, you're the one,
yes,
that walks,
Lord,
through the fire. And Father, I just want to just pray for each and every one here that they will hear what the Spirit has to,
yes,
say.
Lord.
That the Spirit will speak to their hearts.
Yes,
whoever,
Lord,
is searching, whoever is running, whoever is just turning from you, God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, tonight would be the decision they make to follow you.
Yes, Lord.
We give you glory. We give you honor. And I bind Satan and everyone
in the name of Jesus
from coming against them anymore.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Father, that you would just compel them to come in.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that they would just come in, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we just give you thanks. We give you praise and honor in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.